You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It's 8 o'clock. It's Saturday morning. Outdoor Living Hour, third Saturday of the month. We have Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice in studio with us, along with special guest Rob. We're going to be covering our lawn transition, and Rob's with Rainbird, a specialist in irrigation layout. We had ASU's turf manager.
Those are his sprinklers you hear running right now.
What model would you say those are, Rob Simmons?
probably a MaxiPaw. Old.
That distinguished sound, you recognize that anywhere. So we've got a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. And I tell you, I have not overseeded yet because our Bermuda looks so good.
Well, and it will for a while if you don't overseed. This is really, the 15th of October has always been, to me, the magic day that you should do it or start doing it. And I've noticed, I don't know, Rob, if you noticed this, but I've noticed we're kind of working our way back to that. There for a few years, boy, it creeped way up. Guys were doing it mid-September. But they've kind of started backing off on that. We're having, I think, so many transition problems in the spring that part of it is they're just overseeding too early. So this is the perfect time to do it. However, you can do it as late. My test for how late you can do it has always been the spring training facilities there on the Indian Bend at Indian School Park that the Giants used for years, and they could never get on those fields to mow them down till the fall league was over. So they have that Arizona Fall League going through the month of October. So those fields never got overseeded until at least early November, sometimes mid-November, and they came in fine. It's going to be slower. You have the risk of maybe some colder temperatures, but, slowing it down. But don't panic. If you haven't done it yet and you've seen all your neighbors doing it, this to me would be the ideal weekend to do it. Besides, it's not so dang hot yourself out there doing it. I don't know what Rob feels about that.
Yeah, the magic number for me, people always ask me, when do I do it? And I always tell them to look for the nighttime temperature. Once it hits about 65 for a consistent time period, that's the perfect time transition in the fall and in the spring. Once it gets to, in the spring, once it hits about 65 into 70, that's a number to when you want to start transitioning back to Bermuda. But the Bermuda will come back in by itself.
Yes. And when we're going to that transition away from Bermuda right now into the fall, one thing I have noticed is if you are waiting a little bit later to do it, it's still a good idea to buy your seed now because, most of these have, the Ewings and, nurseries, they've already ordered their pallet, and that's probably, they're not going to reorder anything. Once that's gone for the season.
True. And another tip along with that is always keep about, depending on how big your yard is, a little extra seed after you've done it, because the birds, the hot spots, the misses, or just down the road if you got a little place that gets damaged and you have a little seed, because you're not going to be able to go buy 5 pounds of seed in January. you may, but I doubt it. So keep yourself 5 or 10 pounds of seed. It doesn't go bad as long as you keep it dry and have that handy in case you need to touch up a spot or two or thicken up a spot or two, because it just never comes in perfect, the whole lawn. There's always going to be a little corner that's drier that doesn't germinate or something.
Now, John, on seed, the prettiest winter lawn I ever had was the bag of seed I bought from your nursery on Hayden. There's different kinds of seeds you can buy, right?
Well, yes. So anymore, people are planting, a perennial blend, typically. Going way, way back, I'm older than Rob, so when I was getting in, we sold predominantly annual ryegrass seed. And annual ryegrass seed was pretty inexpensive, but you got exactly what you paid for. It was thick-bladed, wet, it grew fast, it clogged up your mower when you mowed it because it was just like baling hay. And you left windrows when you mowed it, and, yeah, and you tracked the green juice all over your driveway and your patio when you were done, and on your clothes and everything else. The ad, then we slowly started getting perennial blends. So the old Medalist 7 came out somewhere in the, you know, 60s or whenever it was, and but was, you know, it was pretty expensive, and you know, people were reluctant to pay that. Then we, as more and more perennial blends, and don't let the term perennial fool you, it is not going to come back. It might in some shady areas, but it's not.
I have like six little patches that are about the size of a silver dollar, yeah, under the mulberry tree.
Well, I think we had a call last time I was on, or an email about somebody that had they were waiting for their perennial ryegrass to come back again. Not maybe in Michigan, but anyway, and so they, what they do is that every year there are trials. They'll grow hundreds of varieties of perennial ryegrasses, and they'll trial them. And company X might go, well, I like 1, 7, and 8, and they try and blend these for different purposes. Maybe one of the varieties has better color. Maybe another variety is, you know, more vigorous, and maybe another variety is, you know, more disease resistant or something. And so they'll take three of those and blend them together. The problem is, you know, they're branding them. So, you know, Ewing has their brand, and Summer Winds Nursery has their brand, and Treeland has their brand.
What's, well, John Deere now? One site, on site?
Site one.
Site one.
The problem is, unless, and what you might want to do if you really, really, really like the lawn that you got this year, keep that little tag or that certificate that comes on that seed. That will tell you which varieties of, you know, the names of those three varieties, because Treeland's blend next year might not be the same as it was last year.
I'll be darned. Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of complicated. And usually if you're buying a good three seed blend, Rob can chime in on this. I don't think you can really go wrong. You're probably, you know, some might be better than others. Sometimes it's weather too that dictates how they look.
Well, what I've seen is there's always a rye fescue bluegrass mix. Is some percentage of that's going to change. And it really doesn't matter what distributor you go to, they're all going to be the same. Even, you know, the box stores are going to have those same mixes. But like Jay's talking about, it's just going to be different every year because how they decide it. But it's going to have a blend of those. You know, Flagstaff's going to be a little bit different than here in Phoenix just because of the cooler weather. Cooler weather, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the winter grass in Phoenix is the summer grass up north.
Correct, yeah, correct.
Because, yeah, of the weather.
What we're really planting is a cool season grass, yeah, as our winter lawn, because our Bermudas go dormant. And we're one of the few places, there's not everybody does this. And I guess the reason we do it is the weather is so beautiful here in the winter. Why don't you want to be out enjoying your lawn? And we've had this conversation for years. If, you know, the cities and everybody, you know, you don't have to plant a winter lawn, cut back on water. I'm like, well, if you want to cut back on water, let your summer lawn die and have a beautiful winter lawn. You know, from October to May, if you weren't worried about transitioning and getting your Bermuda grass to fill back in the spring, you could keep ryegrass going until probably July pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So you'd have July, August, September that you wouldn't have. And you know what? I don't know about you, but that's not the most fun time to be out trying to mow a lawn here. And the only way I'm enjoying that lawn is I'm looking through the kitchen window out into my backyard, or I'm standing in my pool looking at after I've mowed it, I've jumped in the pool. So from a lifestyle, from a pure, you know, lifestyle, zero escape concept, the winter lawn is the one you want to have. And, you know, treat the summer lawn however you want. But
we've done that.
Just my two cents worth.
With our backyard.
That hasn't caught on, by the way, so I obviously don't have a very good idea.
The one big issue I've seen around with that is, I think it's a great idea, but HOAs.
Yes.
In they cities. They don't like the thought of letting your summer grass die.
Code enforcement guys in the cities are not happy about with you if you have, you know, which.
There's one more reason I don't live in an HOA. So when you're overseeding, top covers, the problem I have found with the top cover is now all my sprinkler heads are like 2 inches underground, and sometimes when they pop up now, they don't clear the grass. So I guess that goes back to your seasonal dethatching, heavy dethatching. But and second, like today I'm in the Expedition, I don't want to put all that top seed inside the back of the – if I was in the truck, that's a different story, but I'm not today.
Well, if you buy Rainbird's best equipment and you have great coverage on your sprinklers and you have a controller that will run as frequently as you can let it run, you do not need to cover seed with a mulch or a topping. Again, if we go back 30, 40 years when hardly anybody had a sprinkler system, they were doing this with a little Pro and Square Spray sprinkler or a Nelson oscillating sprinkler, and you're having to try and keep that seed moist, then the covering is a big, big help. And if you have a irrigation system that's maybe not perfect, or you don't have one, then I would, and or if you have bare spots, if you have just dirt and you're throwing that seed out on dirt, you really need to cover that with a topper. I take 5 or 6 bags home. I've got some corners. I've got some areas that are shady. The Bermuda doesn't come back in, and I cover those. I can tell you that those are the first areas to come up. That topping does make a difference. It will improve your germination because it's holding not only moisture around that seed more consistently, but it's warmer.
It's also protecting it from the birds and everything. So, and that's really why there's a top dressing, is to really hold the moisture in. But, you know, like you said, if you have a system that is, you know, well enough to keep it moist and have, you know, different start times, you may not need that dressing. I actually don't. I couldn't tell you the last time I did a top dressing.
1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions to 411-923 and email info@rosieonthehouse.com. And thank you, Rob Simmons. You just saved me an extra 2 hours of my overseeing this weekend. And I'd be like, why don't you put it on top dressing? Because the Rainbird guy doesn't.